Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, that's the father of his wife, Zipporah, who was the priest of Midian. So he might have sort of believed some of the things that Moses did, but he was the priest of, I guess, another god. And Moses led the flock to the back of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now, the life of Moses fits very clearly into three periods of 40 years. He was 40 years in Egypt, growing up in the court of Pharaoh, and then he ran away, as we read in Exodus 2, and he was then 40 years working as a shepherd, leading sheep around the desert. And then he was 40 years leading the people of God around the desert. So, when you look back in your life, you can see how God has worked, how he's used one part of your life to prepare you for the next. Moses spent 40 years leading sheep around that desert and leading them even to the mountain of God, to Horeb or Sinai, and then he does the same with God's people. And in a bigger sense, we are being trained now, through all that we go through now, for the sort of things we will do in the kingdom. Now, we can't quite imagine what we will do in the kingdom, but what we must believe is that we're being trained to do it. Just like when Moses was 40 years as a shepherd, he would not have guessed what this was all building up to, but this was leading him to do something else. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a burning bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not burnt up. And I think this was showing him that the fire was like the Spirit of God and that the Spirit of God would work with him, but he would not be consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush isn't burnt up. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. So he was called. And he said, Here am I, just like Samuel when he was called as a child. And this should always be our attitude. But then we wonder, well, how do I know whether I've been called? And it was said to me a long time ago, and this is so true, that the need is the call. That if you see a need to preach the gospel, to serve, to help, and that need is all around us, it's in every life. Everybody can see the needs of others all around them. That need is the call. And he said, the angel said, Don't draw near, but first of all, take your shoes off from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy. Further, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was frightened to look upon God. Well, you can't see God, and so he wasn't looking at God himself, he was looking at an angel that carried the name of God. And people get confused about who Jesus is because they think that because the Bible talks about him in places functioning as God, that therefore he is God, but he isn't. I mean, the Son is different to the Father. But just like the angel could carry the name of God and be spoken of as God, effectively, to Moses, so it is with Jesus. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now that is a wonderful little phrase, I know their sorrows. So in all the sorrow that we have, and in all the things that go wrong, and what is not fair, and what is unjust, God knows. And he said, And I am come down to save them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, to a good land and a large, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now that is the great qualification. When you ask to do something, to feel, but who am I to do this? And that's why God wanted to use Moses, because he knew that that was how Moses felt. Who am I? It says later on in Numbers chapter 12 that Moses was the most humble man on earth. Now that is amazing. And to get to that point, to be the humblest man on earth in God's judgment, he had to go through this whole process of 40 years working as a shepherd, apparently going nowhere with his life, so that he would come to this point where he could say, me, do something for you, God, but who am I? Yep, that's when he was ready. That was his qualification. It's not that he went off to Bible school or that he went to Bible college or got qualified and then he could serve God. That may be true in anything else in life, but it's not true with our service of God. Anyone can serve God, and the qualification is to have that attitude. Who am I? And God said, certainly I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you've brought forth the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain, and they were at Mount Sinai. And that's what happened. Moses said to God, when I come to the children of Israel and tell them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus you will tell the Israelites, I am has sent me unto you. And God said further to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name for ever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and you will come, you and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go 3 days into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, not even by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand, and I will smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the middle of it. After that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, and it will happen that when you go, you shall not leave empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her who is staying in her house, borrow jewels of silver and gold and clothes, and you shall put them upon your sons and your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. Well, this was God's ideal plan. But God has ideal plans, but men don't always allow them to work out. So, for example, he says that you and the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt and say these things unto him. Well, in the end, the elders of Israel were not very strong, really. And poor Moses, in the end, had to end up doing the whole thing all himself. Even Aaron, it seems, faded away into the background. And that is often how it is. But that God really did see all this affliction, and he does see our situation, and he does want to bring us out from it, and he will do so.